Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The war in Gaza's fog of war. We're told the IDF has plans to assault Rafah, the village at the south end of the Gaza Strip, divided by an international border. One half of the village, not much standing, is on the Egyptian side. One half of the village, not much standing. Large amounts of tents on the Gaza side. However, the critical juncture is before the offensive, feeding 1 to 2 million people daily. I welcome Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy and Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute to comment on the plans announced by the president in before, during, and after the State of the Union message. The plans to bring in a floating dock, which reminds me, of course, of the famous floating dock off of the Normandy beaches in 1944. That was a great idea until a storm came up from the Atlantic and wrecked it. I don't see that being a possibility. However, Bill and Hussein, very good evening to you. I welcome your comments on this plan because it's quite the engineering feat. Bill, your conversation on Generation Jihad these last days with your colleague David Ayoud, what did you learn about the floating dock? Does it exist anywhere in the world? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, I mean, this sort of thing has been done before, but we have to keep in mind that this is an active war zone, and someone at some point, well, first of all, the military says it's going to take weeks. I've heard it's possibly 2 months to build this. So if anyone thinks this is an immediate solution to the humanitarian problem in Gaza, that isn't. The real problem here to me is who is going to secure this? Once, you know, the President Biden claims that there will be no U.S. troops on the ground. That is possible, but there's certainly going to be troops on that pier. This is an active war zone. What happens if Hamas, if Hezbollah, if Iran decides that this can be a target to escalate the situation? Will U.S. troops that are working on this dock, U.S. warships that are and supply ships that are off the coast of Israel, will they become targets? Is there a plan for this? Given what we have seen in previous humanitarian-type missions, my guess is there probably isn't, John. I go back to the evacuation of Kabul and the mistakes that were made in the timing for calling the evacuation, how the evacuation was executed, how there was no planning for an evacuation of that sort quickly after the U.S. withdrawal, the U.S. closing Bagram. The same people are in charge, John, and this is a big concern for me. There's never been accountability for Afghanistan. So no, there's been no lessons learned, and the same mistakes can be made here. And, you know, what happens if U.S. troops come into contact? I'm certain it's feasible for something like this to happen. It's not going to be quick. And, you know, the other aspect of this, too, John, is who is going to secure this aid once it hits the ground? Is it Hamas? Hamas is the ones with the guns in a siege situation are the first to get the supplies, to get the medical supplies, to get weapons, ammunition, water, fuel. Is Hamas going to be distributing this? Is there any plan for this? It's a chaotic situation, you know, and I think back to, you know, this to me, it feels good to do this for the Biden administration. But the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Look at Mogadishu. Look at Beirut in 1982. Those were all feel-good missions, too, until they weren't, until things went sideways and caused great catastrophe for the U.S. military.
Mr. Ambassador, a good evening to you. Hussein Haqqani is a former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. We will come to Pakistan's critical election momentarily, but it's several hours before Ramadan begins, and the ambition of many of the outside players and the negotiators is to do something dramatic and successful before Ramadan. Mr. Ambassador, how is it that this plan is being heard in the Ummah, in the critical capitals, observing the Gaza tragedy. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Look, the Gaza tragedy is a humanitarian tragedy. It is the result of certain policy decisions. And to correct the course would require some revision of those policy decisions, such as letting Israel have complete free hand in the destruction of Gaza and not asking for a proportionate response to what happened when Hamas terrorists attacked Israel. And having an unrealistic goal, which is the destruction of Hamas, which everybody knows will not happen because Hamas will regenerate itself, even if you destroy the civilian infrastructure and kill thousands of civilians in Gaza. The Hamas fighters will find a way of hiding amongst those civilians, coming out again, joining such groups. We saw that in Afghanistan. We saw that in Iraq. Using the military just for symbolic actions that will get a lot of applause, make Americans happy, make critics abroad happy, be seen as doing something, is not the solution to actually active engagement on the ground politically and making correct policy decisions. Israel has more Arab, or had more Arab friends when all of this happened. And Netanyahu's absolute sort of single-minded pursuit of the sort of the conservative vote in Israel has made him do what it has made him do. I mean, he has cabinet ministers who call for Palestinian genocide, and the U.S. decides not to say anything on it for political reasons, because it might be construed by Netanyahu and his associates and his supporters in the U.S. as undermining Israel's resolve to deal with Hamas. So this is a policy question. It's a political issue. And building a humanitarian bridge, showing up, taking several days to do this, as Bill has rightly pointed out, and getting the U.S. military involved will not solve the problem. It did not solve the problem in Afghanistan. It did not solve the problem in Iraq. It's not going to solve the problem in Gaza.
Bill, the ambassador mentions the assault on Rafah. Your information, this is promised, it's imminent. Is there thinking about what to do with the up to 1 million people crowded in the southern part of Gaza? Is that part of the floating dock plan, or are those separate challenges?
To the Israelis, these to me appear to be separate challenges. We haven't heard much of the Israelis on what their plan is for Rafah. And look, John, I think the Israelis made a serious mistake. This is the area that they should have targeted first. They should have shut that border down, gained control of that border, and then they could have allowed, had a more controlled situation with getting that aid through. It would have pinched Hamas more. I disagree with Hussein on the issue of Israeli policy. There's proportionality has been the problem all along. The Israel has always has responded proportionally to Hamas attacks. This is a case where the attack is so horrific from Hamas that it required a disproportionate response. And if the people of Gaza don't like it, they could overthrow Hamas. This is what happens when you attack a country in such a horrific way. But as far as the operation in Rafah, we don't have much information. We do know the Biden administration, after President Biden's statements over the weekend, that he does not want it, and he's putting significant pressure on the Israelis. He's blaming the Israelis essentially for this war. And all the blame goes on Hamas here. If Hamas doesn't want civilian casualties, if it doesn't want a humanitarian disaster, it should surrender. It could end this war. This is happening whether Hamas likes it or not. Hamas is the one responsible here, and Hamas is the one that can end this.
Mr. Ambassador, your understanding of negotiations about prisoner exchanges or some mitigation of the pending offensive, is it likely to be successful before, during? Does Ramadan make a significance to the negotiators, Hussein?
Well, Well, look, I mean, I don't think so. Very frankly, we are dealing with two extremist negotiators. Hamas doesn't care about the Palestinian people. Hamas doesn't care about the people of Gaza. I don't accept this premise that everywhere where somebody, some government, somebody who's in power does something wrong, that the people should be shot and bombed unless they overthrow that government. It doesn't happen anywhere. Let us be honest. I think out of our sympathy and concern for Israel, which many of us have, we sometimes allow Israel's politicians, such as Prime Minister Netanyahu, do things which actually don't win Israel any friends anywhere. Personally, Prime Minister Netanyahu, with people like Ben-Gvir and his government, presides over a group that even a lot of Israelis consider to be extreme in their attitude. So these are two extreme groups that do not care about the human beings involved, so therefore I do not see an outcome that is going to be good. Look, I have always been one of those Muslims who has stood up for the right of Israel to exist, who has supported the right of the Jewish people to a homeland. And yet, I feel that this is worsening the situation because the inroads that were being made in the Muslim world of sympathy and support and recognition for Israel, that are all being eroded after this war, which I don't think will actually meet its objectives. It will be like the Lebanon war. Hezbollah is still sitting there. Israel fought that for years. You cannot go just guns blazing to try and change the internal political dynamic of a place. It doesn't happen that way. Hamas should have been bombed. And after that, there should have been some form of talks that were more rational talks than the ones we are getting. This will go on for a long time until public opinion in Israel gets exhausted. Probably by then, most of the hostages will be dead, unfortunately.
Hussein Haqqani of the Hassan Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Bill Rajo, a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeping the Long War Journal, with his colleagues. Bill's comments with David Dayoud are on Generation Jihad right now. We're going to turn to the government in Pakistan, forming around former Prime Minister and now Prime Minister again, Shahbaz Sharif. And we'll also watch Afghanistan respond to the new government in Islamabad. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.